Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Where the Wind Blows. I'm Eric Terry, and Kelvin Wong is not here today. He's celebrating the Chinese New Year with his family. On today's episode, we have a conversation with Andrew WK, who is calling us from an airport in Australia. Also, we have Ingrid Vinger calling in from Toronto, talking to us about her new film, Modra. All this and more coming up on this week's episode of Where the Wind Blows. So right now on the line, we have Andrew WK. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, no, it's great that we that you were able to call in from wherever you are right now. You're on your way home from Australia, if I'm correct.
Yes, we're here in Melbourne, Australia, at the airport, about to fly to, Adelaide.
Nice.
And we've been on tour here for the last 2.5 weeks and really having a great time. I'm glad that the telephones work so well here. I'm able to call in all the way from the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think this is probably the farthest call we've ever gotten here on the show.
It could be, yes. It's certainly one of my longest distance calls.
All right, let's hope the bill isn't too high. All right, for some questions we have here for you, Andrew. First of all, we're just wondering, we know you're working on a new album right now. Could you tell us a little bit about that album at all?
Say that again about the new album?
We hear you're just coming out with a new album, it's currently in production right now. Can you tell us anything a bit about it, like when it's released or on it?
Yes, it's something that I've been working on really more or less since 2006. That was the time we put out our last new album, that was Close Calls with Brick Walls, and we recently re-released that as a 2-CD set, but I'm very excited because this will be the new rock and roll party material that we will unleash all across the world. Really our first new album that will hopefully be a worldwide release even since 2003. I'm recording it. We don't have a release date set, but I'm hoping it gets out before the end of the year.
Nice. It sounds pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to purchasing it, to be honest.
I'm very excited about it as well.
Oh, right on. So we have a question here from Erin M. She's got a couple questions here. One of them is, do you enjoy being so awesome? Was what one of her questions.
It's the first question. You have to speak a little bit slower. I really apologize.
Oh, no, it's okay. She was wondering, do you enjoy being so awesome?
You know, I still couldn't understand you. I heard the word awesome, and I heard this is a question from someone with Aaron M.
Yes.
And I still wasn't unable to understand what the question was. I heard the word awesome, though. I apologize. It's very distorted.
That's
on
all right.
My end. Is there any?
I'm working on that right now. Please? I'm working on that right now. Give me 2 seconds here. Is that better for you? Andrew?
I am here. Yes, I can. Yes, hello. I'm gonna have to go through security now, though. I'll have to set the telephone down while I go through the checkpoint. It won't allow me to carry the telephone through. So just bear with me one moment. I'm not gonna turn the phone off. Just bear with me.
All right.
You might hear some strange sounds.
All righty.
Passing through the checkpoint.
All right. This is quite the endeavor here we've got going on, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Andrew WK going through his security check at the airport. So for those people who do still have questions for Andrew, make sure that you do go onto the Facebook group, or you do send us a message on BBM, or also we do have the Twitter option. Remember, pardon me, I'd say call in, but we have Andrew WK on the line right now. So currently, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, on our Facebook group, we are facebook.com/wherethewindblows, and on Twitter we are wherewindblowsr. And make sure, just so you know, guys, that we will be
we're live. Sorry about that. I'm back.
All right, welcome back.
It was very fast checkpoint.
That was pretty fast. So Aaron M was wondering, do you enjoy being so awesome?
I still can't understand. You know, it's something about the word awesome. I'm a man who believes that life, by its very definition, is awesome. And if you realize that and embrace it, then there's really no limit as far as how awesome you can be or how awesome your life can be. I hope that's a good answer. I do apologize that I have had so much trouble understanding. It's just a bit distorted.
All right, we're trying to compensate for that right now. Zach asks, what was your first gig as a musician?
My first gig?
Yes.
My first show? Let's see. Wow. I mean, well, I started on classical piano lessons, so actually my first performance ever with an audience was playing piano recitals.
That's definitely a start. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yes. Now they're checking me for explosives, so there may be another delay. Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize about this.
No, it's not a problem.
They're checking me for explosives.
All right.
But yeah, the first show, it was a piano recital where I got to play in front of my family and a lot of the other students and their parents. I was always very nervous. I was probably about age, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old.
All right. That actually segues perfectly into a question that I was going to ask you the last time we were on, that you called us. When you did the your 55 Cadillac album, what was your inspiration from segueing from, or taking a slight detour from your regular rock albums to releasing a piano album? What was your what were you thinking there? Like, what was your motivation to do that instead of releasing another rock album?
I don't know exactly what I was thinking. 55 Cadillac, that is the first time I ever released just me playing piano. I think a big part of the appeal was to do something totally just the opposite. That was the motivation, to do something I had never done before. I mean, as much as we were just talking about piano, that is my first instrument, my oldest instrument, so it felt good to be able to do something that was completely piano-related and very different. It was also a situation where my business, my contracts, my professional situation allowed me the freedom, finally, to put out something like that. And releasing the album actually was a huge step in getting free from a lot of other constrictions. So there was practical reasons for doing it. There were business reasons, and then most importantly, there were these creative, liberating creative reasons.
Alrighty. Another Aaron asked, what is the funniest encounter you've ever had with a fan?
Say that again about what was the most what about
the,
a fan?
What was the most funniest encounter that you've had with a fan?
Oh, wow, funniest encounter. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of amazing encounters, I gotta say. I've always said that my fans are friends, not just fans, and that I want them to feel, and I myself feel this connection that I feel like we really relate to one another, that we're both going through this same kind of living experience together here on this world, and we want to party and enjoy ourselves. And I mean, just here in Australia, there was a young woman after the show that asked if I would lick her face. And I mean, I've definitely kissed people on the face before, but never lick. And so I did it. She wanted to take a picture of that, so I did it once. And the person taking the photo, unfortunately, it was blurry. So then we did it again, and the second time, they still made a mistake with the show off. Third time will be the next time you come to the show, then I'll try licking your face again. The reason was her face, she was very pretty and very nice lady, but her face was caked with foundation, with makeup. It was very bitter, very salty and bitter tasting, and my tongue had just, I had enough, but that was a pretty interesting experience.
Alrighty. Maxine asked, why do you when you go do your performances or when you're on doing a music video, why is it the same outfit, the dirty white t-shirt and the rugged jeans?
Well, I actually have many versions of that same outfit. Levi's jeans, which I've worn, 501 jeans or 512 jeans over the years, 505 at times. But the white jeans provided by Levi's, I've been able to get a lot of those, despite the fact that they're otherwise rather difficult to find. And then the t-shirt, that's just a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt. I mean, a lot of it was just that, one, it showed up very well on a black stage, meaning if you're wearing white, a lot of venues, a lot of concert halls, a lot of places that we perform are primarily black. So I wanted to show up. I wanted to pop out from the background. And then other than that, I thought it was something that was easy to recognize, something that was easy for me to stay consistent with, and something also easy and relatable to anybody out there. They could always wear t-shirt and jeans. They could probably feel like they could wear the same clothes I was wearing rather than something more elaborate. I want people to feel connected to me and my clothes.
Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, I remember I was talking to you last time, where my friend Luke, who got me into your music, who introduced me to your music, he asked a pretty funny question, actually. He said, have you had any close calls with brick walls recently? And if so, did you get wet from it, or were you protected by your 55 Cadillac?
Wow, what a great question. What a great way to work in all those different elements. well, certainly, a 1955 Cadillac would protect just about anybody from harm. That's a very heavy-duty car that definitely provides some amount of cushion. But a brick wall, that is a formidable force to reckon with. I've been very lucky. I have not run up into any brick walls recently.
That's good.
Maybe just brick walls. Just brick walls of the soul, brick walls in the mind. You want to break down those walls as much as you would any kind of physical wall. But I've been steering clear of those walls and trying to stay in the open air as much as possible.
Alrighty. And one last question for you today, Andrew, before we let you continue on your way to within the borders of Australia. The song called The Song. When you wrote that song, well, it's not so much when you wrote it. What was your what's the meaning behind the song The Song? Because I know when I listen to it, it's kind of reminds me of, you know, don't ever stop the song. It's kind of like, for me, it's don't stop who you are, don't stop, you know, always be who you are, whatever that is, whatever that drive is that's driving you, keep that going. But what was your intent when you released and wrote the song, The Song?
Yes, thank you for asking about that. Actually, no one's ever asked me a question about that, and I really appreciate this. We're talking about a song called The Song on my second album, The Wolf. And actually, that song was originally recorded and called a different title. It was called Don't Ever Stop the Noise.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar sound, but just different lyrics. And I changed it to The Song and sung about the song and made it a song about songs so that we could, I guess for me, a lot of what gets me through every day is having some song in my head, some melody, some lyrics, some rhythm that, you know, just keeps going through your head, and it creates a kind of energy, a kind of momentum, helps carry me through the day. And if you just said, you were exactly right on, we all have our own song, which is our life, like our own path, our own story, our own way through this world, and we want to keep that melody of our life going and follow it throughout until it takes us to our final destination.
Alrighty, yeah, it's a great way to integrate that message into a song like that. That's actually it's pretty clever, to be honest. Actually,
well, thank you.
Another person asked, are you going to be coming to Toronto anytime soon? Big fan, and was wondering whether you would be playing in the Toronto area in the near future.
Well, I of course I'm certainly a huge fan personally of Canada. Toronto specifically. I grew up in Michigan, and we would go to Windsor, Ontario, and Toronto, Ontario, quite frequently because there was always some excitement going on there that we couldn't get in Michigan. And I've actually felt like we've been in Canada more than a lot of other countries over the last few years. I've done some tours through Canada and played some special shows at places like the Sound Academy in Toronto. It's just a fantastic city, and we will certainly come back as soon as possible. I mean, this whole year with the new album into 2012 as well will see us doing more shows with my full band, full tours, and really trying to step up everything now that we're in a good position to do so.
Alrighty. All right, thank you so much for giving us a call, Andrew. Stay on the line for just a second while we put some of our music through. So hold on just a quick second. And once again, thank you for coming on, Andrew. It's wonderful to have you here.
Yes, thank you so much.
All righty, we'll talk to you in just a second, Andrew.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Andrew WK calling from Australia. And now we're going to start you off with some of his music. And speaking about licking faces, here's a song called I Want Your Face.
With you got to get it all the time. I want
You're listening to Eric Terry and Calvin Wong, live on Where the Wind Blows, on Centennial Internet Radio.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Andrew WK with I Want to See You Go Wild. And before that, we had I Want Your Face and Ready to Die. We're going on, we have our Andrew WK marathon today, or more a theme show. But right now on the line, we have Ingrid Veninger. How you doing today?
I'm really good.
All right. How's the quality there? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're a little bit distorted, but I can make you out all right.
All right, that's good to hear. So tell us first of all a little bit about yourself, Ingrid, and about the film Modra that you've just released.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking about how long I've been in this industry, and I realized that I started acting 30 years ago. I started producing 20 years ago, and I started directing 10 years ago. So it's been sort of a long path to get to this feature, Modra, which is the first feature film that I've written, directed, and produced.
Oh, wow. That's quite the job title there.
Yeah.
All righty. So tell us a little bit about Modra itself. Like, tell us a bit about the film and what all went into it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if people are familiar with the word Modra is a Slovak word. And translated in English, it means blue. And it's actually the name of a village in Slovakia where my mother was born. I was born in Bratislava in Slovakia, former Czechoslovakia. And my parents came in 1968 as the Russian tanks were rolling in. It was a time a lot of people came, left Czechoslovakia and went to different places. I was 2 years old. And really, I came with my parents to Canada, and I never knew my family over there. So I always dreamed about having a big family. I'm an only child, and I used to fantasize about having lots of cousins and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters. And when I was 17, I went back for the first time, and I met all of this extended family, and it kind of blew my mind. And at that time, I was already acting, and I sort of dreamed about returning and making a film one day, and that's what I did with this movie.
Oh, right on. So it was that past experience that inspired you to film Modra.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being 17 is kind of a crazy time for people. You're in between being a teenager and adult, and there's all this pressure, and you're supposed to know what you want to do with your life, and you're going into your last year of high school, and it's just kind of a chaotic time, and I have a 17-year-old daughter, and so I was reliving all of that madness with her, and it made me think about leaving home for the first time, taking that first trip to Europe, falling in love, having my heart broken, and that's what kind of inspired this film, was really having a 17-year-old girl and remembering all of the madness of being 17.
Alrighty. So when you were making the film, what kind of difficulties or boundaries did you have to overcome to either get the shots that you're looking for or just producing in general?
I mean, being the producer and the director and the writer by myself, working with my daughter, directing all of my Slovak relatives that act in the film, people that I don't know very well, communicating everything in English and then again back, maxing out my credit cards. I've now got like 4 credit cards, $20,000 limit, so like I can go up to 60K, and I pushed that limit on this film. So it was risky in every direction. It was risky in that my daughter could have hated me at the end of the process, my family could have disowned me, and I was in, you know, major debt because I put a lot of my personal money on the line. But in the end, it's kind of I do love taking risks, and my parents took a huge risk leaving their homeland and leaving their country and starting a new life in Canada. So I think you can't make a good film without taking creative risks, you know, and this one was certainly full of them. But it was worth it because we got into the Toronto Film Festival, we sold out our screenings, we got recently onto Canada's Top 10 for 2010.
Oh, wow.
I picked up, you know, I sold the film to Mongrel Media, which is an incredible distributor. Telefilm Canada supported the film, and everyone, it was really important to me that everyone that worked on the film liked the film in the end, and my daughter's proud of it, and, you know, the people that contributed, because they certainly didn't get rich making this movie, it was made with a very small crew, one cameraman, one sound recordist, and an editor came with me to Slovakia. everyone in the film is a first-time actor. No one's a professional. No one's acted before. So everyone just kind of jumped into this project with both feet and a lot of trust and a lot of faith. And it's turned out really great because now people are, you know, getting agents and getting bigger offers. And my DP's doing a huge feature and my editor is working on great stuff. And so everyone's benefited. That makes me, you know, that's like the best thing you can have as a director, right? A film
exactly.
where everyone likes the film and they gain something from the experience.
Yeah, I remember seeing the film. It was a really good film. I really enjoyed it. Good storyline. You know, you made use of everything that you had, whether it like lighting and things. I remember you telling me that your main source of light was actually the sun. You didn't really have much of a lighting set.
I mean, there's no, it's natural lighting, right? Like, we kind of take, I very much like the documentary approach to fiction filmmaking, so everything's small, so we can be flexible, and we can be spontaneous, and we can react and respond to things in the moment, and our key light was the sun. We had a couple of really tiny, you know, inky lights, but it was mostly natural, like 60-watt light bulbs,
sun.
One camera, all handheld except for a few shots on a tripod, and you know, really do it yourself, punk style.
Oh wow! Right on. Now, I remember when I was watching the film, you told us that your daughter was actually the main actress, the lead actress. What was it like being a director to her, and how was she with it all?
I mean, if I it's been amazing to work with my daughter. Like if. You know, I mean, it's pretty tough for people listening. Like, if you're a teenager and you sort of think, oh, my God, I could never do a film with my mother. Or, you know, if you're a mother out there thinking, wow, that would be crazy to do something like this with my daughter. And really, I wanted to have this experience with her before she went off to university, before she went off into her life, this kind of rite of passage and working with her as a professional actor and having this director-actor relationship with her was amazing because I have so much respect for her and she trusts me, and she kind of set the bar for everybody else because they saw how hard she was working and everyone kind of stepped up to match her. And the fact that she likes the film and the fact that it's now being released at the cinema that she worked at the Royal, it's playing for a week starting February 11th until the 17th. So she's at the theater every night of the screening, working the box office, making the popcorn, running to do the Q&A, running back to make more popcorn, being the star of the feature film. I mean, it's like she's the ultimate Canadian actress. She's just kind of doing it all.
Wow.
And to have this experience before she goes off to university has been pretty cool. And going to festivals across Canada, you know, starting with TIFF and then going to Halifax and going to Vancouver, where Alexander Gamal won the Best Canadian Actor Award.
Wow.
And we went down to Brazil, and we went over to East Germany, and then we had our big premiere in Bratislava, where, again, the family came together, and we won the Audience Award. And it was a huge reunion because my mother came with us, and she hadn't seen her brother her two brothers in over 15 years. So there are all these... You know, this is a film that my daughter says she's going to show to her grandkids. So
oh, wow.
It's a really personal film, and it was made with a lot of love, and it's been incredible to sort of watch audiences watch the film and see and feel all the laughter and hear people's stories about being 17 and, you know, traveling for the first time. And really, it's been pretty cool to see how this little, small film has caught some fire, you know, in Canada with Top 10 and getting the theatrical release, but also in Europe and South America. So it's possible, you know, for all the people out there that want to make films and are doing it in a very lo-fi way, it's really possible to do something small and truthful with a handful of people that you trust, and it gets you out in the world, and it can be seen by a whole bunch of people.
Wow. Now, I remember you're saying that Modra is clearly not your first film. What other films have you directed?
Well, really, it's like I take baby steps because in the last 10 years that I've been producing, I went to the Canadian Film Center in 2000 as a producer resident, and then I produced a short film called Three Sisters on Moon Lake, and I worked with a filmmaker named Peter Mettler, who does really cool experimental documentary feature films. The one that I worked on for over 10 years was called Gambling Gods and LSD. And then I started directing short films, and then I co-directed a feature called Only, mm-hmm. which actually is on Netflix in Canada. It's called Only, and it stars my son. And that was really cool because it also got into Toronto, and it played in Rome, and it also won a ton of awards. And I produced a feature film. I don't know, maybe people have heard of a feature with Clark Johnson. He was on The Wire. It was called Nurse Fighter Boy, and it was just nominated for 10 Genie Awards, which is like Canada's Oscars.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I've been producing a ton of stuff, and I've been co-directing stuff and directing short films, but this is really the first feature that I've done on my own as the sole director. And so now I'm producing still, and I'm producing Peter Mettler's new feature film called End of Time, which will hopefully be out at the end of this year. And I just keep making films. I mean, it's just, there's no separation for me between eating and sleeping and breathing and being with my family and making films. It's just all life.
That's wonderful. It's always good to have your family involved in shows and things that you do as well, because that's such a big part of people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, certainly making films takes so much time. So in some ways, it's to do projects together means we can spend more time together and have a shared experience. And also, they have much more of an insight into what I do, and I get to know them in a different way as well. Mm-hmm. Like, both my kids now are teenagers, and they're sort of mysteries to me, you know? You kind of lose track. They go off into their lives. So when we do these projects together, it's a really good check-in point where I'm kind of like, oh, okay, that's what they're into now. Mm-hmm. That's what my daughter's feeling and thinking and struggling with.
All righty. And lastly, are you currently working on anything else?
Yeah, I'm working on a secret project.
Ooh.
It's a real secret. And I'm going to be shooting a new feature in March and April in Manchester and Paris and Berlin.
Ooh.
But really, I'm just right now, all my efforts, like I'm on the streets, rain or blizzard or sunshine, trying to get people out to our theatrical release. We're doing 1 week in Toronto, starting February 11th to the 17th at the Royal, which is on College at Clinton. And we're also in Vancouver and Ottawa and Montreal. So I'm just, like, hitting the pavement and trying to get people out. And we're going to make the whole release a total celebration. We're going to just celebrate every single night, because it's a big deal when a small film like this gets on the big screen. So we're just going to enjoy the ride.
Oh,
you know?
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I know definitely I'll be at the premiere at the Royal, and I've got someone else who's myself and a couple other people are definitely going to that premiere on the 11th. What time does it start there?
It's at 9:15 p.m. on the 11th, and there'll be like a little reception after the screening. There'll be a Q&A with the actors and myself every night.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 11th and the 17th, Modra screens at 9:15, and all the nights in between February 12th to 16th, it screens at 7 p.m. and
Alrighty.
We'll be there every night, and people can you know, check out more about the film or see the trailer on the website, which is modrathemovie.com.
All right. I'll definitely make sure to post that on the Facebook group.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome. So thank you for calling in there, Ingrid. Stay on the line for just a second while we throw some music on. So hold on, and thank you for calling in again.
All right. My pleasure.
Take care.
Bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Ingrid, and she is the director and producer of the feature film Modra. And we're also going to continue on with our Andrew WK theme, and we're going to throw on a popular song. As everybody knows, it's called Party Hard. Here it is.
When it's time to party, we will party hard. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Eric Terry and Calvin Wong, live on Where the Wind Blows on Centennial Internet Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew WK with Never Let Down. And remember, all the songs that we're playing today are Andrew WK. Why? Because it is the Andrew WK theme today. Because why? He called in earlier and we asked him some questions and he gave us some pretty awesome answers. So right now, I'm just gonna throw out the just so you know, I'm just talking about this weather that we're having today. Or the last couple, the last 48 hours, it's been 24 actually. It's been quite interesting to see where all this snow, because we're not used to seeing all this snow. It's been quite the we've seen it obviously, but you know, we haven't had a dumping like this in a while. Because I mean, school's closed here, and a lot of schools are closed today. So what I want to know is what you've done with this snow day. Give us a call. The number here is 416-289-5000, extension 8615. Just so you know, before you if you do decide to call, first of all, don't be shy. There's going to be a little bit of a message saying about the snow day. Let that roll. There's a little bit of a 10-second gap, and then the regular message starts, and then you can type in the extension 8615. Once again, the number is 416-289-5000, and I just told you the extension, which is 8615. Give us a shout or throw us a message on the BlackBerry Messenger there, or on Facebook or on Twitter. You can always give us a shout. But I just want to know what you've done with your day in the snow. With the snow day, not day in the snow. I mean, well, you could be in the snow. You could be making your snow fort. You could be making your snowman or whatever you decide you like to do in the snow, or snow angels or whatever it is you decide to do. I want to know what you've done with your snow day so far. So like I said, give us a shout, 416-289-5000, extension 8615. The Facebook group is facebook.com/wherethewindblows, and on Twitter it is wherewindblowsare. You can search us up there, and if you don't know the BlackBerry pin, the barcode is right on the homepage there of the Facebook group. With my snow day, obviously, as you've seen, I'm here in the studio. I'm telling you now, it was a pain in the butt to get here. The train was slow, the buses were slow. It's definitely quite disgusting out there. So those people who are going to be driving tonight, make sure that you take extra caution, because those roads are very slippery and a lot of them have not been plowed. For those people who decide they're going to go walking places, just so you know, a lot of the sidewalks haven't been plowed yet either, so be careful out there on those sidewalks. So other than that, what I've been doing on my snow day is pretty much just been relaxing. Got home at around just before 3 today. I went out with my godfather, just had a nice coffee and a lunch. I had an awesome-tastical talk, and then I came here. Unfortunately, I haven't really had much time to play in the snow as I'd like to. I do like the snow. I would love to have made a fort today or done something or even gone out and do some photography. But unfortunately, as you folks can tell, I am here in the studio. I decided to fight the weather and be here today to bring you our broadcast of Where the Wind Blows at 7 p.m. And I was here and on time. And I don't let the weather get in my way of things like this. This is something that's just... there's just something magical about this studio, you know? Just something... something great about this place. Just things come to life in here, I guess you could say. But anyways, if you do have if anything you want to tell us that you've done, that you've done today, because of your snow day, did you relax? Did you, have a nice cup of cocoa? Did you go out and just go nuts, or did you not do anything, just sit on your butt all day? Just let us know what you did. Well, not us. Well, it's just more me and all you guys who are listening. Just give us a call. Once again, 416-289-5000, extension 8615. Don't forget there's that little bit of a blurb ahead there. So make sure to ignore it, actually. Just saying that the college is closed today. So, I don't know, just take the phone away from here for about 30 seconds while that thing plays. Trust me, it's annoying. Earlier we had Andrew WK call, and he had some interesting answers to a lot of our questions. We're going to see for those people who missed out, We're gonna see if we can get him again and get him to answer some more fan questions. And if we do have that, we will have a contest. Pardon me. We're gonna have a contest. If you win, you'll be able to sit in studio while we talk to Andrew on the phone. We're gonna throw out a little bit of a contest there right now. If you do within the next few weeks, if you want to partake in the show, and you want to sit here in the studio, call, give us a shout here. We'd like to invite people to come into the studio. It's a lot of fun when you've got other people here, not just the host and the co-host. It just makes it that much more fun. So we're gonna say the second caller to give us a shout here will be able to come into studio, and pardon me, we'll be able to come into the studio and just watch us do our thing. All right, now I've got a song that obviously another Andrew WK song. So moving on, no one wanted to tell us their snow stories, I guess. But hey, you know what? That's life. We do things and then we move on. So right now we're another Andrew WK song called "The Background," and that is coming up at you right now. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Andrew WK with The Background. And yeah, so we're going to have a... It was great to have him come in to call in again today. You know, we before the show, there was a little bit of a misunderstanding. His manager actually thought that we meant March the 3rd. And so there was a little bit of confusion. You know, we talked, we were able to work it out, and he called us on his way in the airport. So that's why there was a little bit of a... That's why there was some interesting sound effects in the background. So it was great that we were able to work that kind of stuff out. Yeah. So next week, guys, we're gonna have Kelvin Wong back in studio here. So it won't just be me you'll be listening to. I know you're probably getting sick of my voice already. But yeah, so we're gonna have Kelvin Wong back in next week, and we'll keep you posted as to what will be on the show next week. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we have been unfortunately been a little bit behind putting up the last week's episode, but we'll get right on that tonight, and the next few episodes should be up in within the next few days. Other than that, guys, that's a wrap for tonight. It's great that thank you to all who listened today, and also thank you for Andrew WK for calling in, and Ingrid for calling in as well to have those interviews. And it's great that they could give us a shout there. That's absolutely wonderful. Anyways, guys, it's been wonderful talking to you once again, and it's been great that you guys have been listening tonight. So from all of us here at Where the Wind Blows, which is me, everybody have yourself a great night and be safe while you're out there, because the roads are pretty slippery. Right now we're going to leave you with a quick song also by Andrew WK called Don't Stop Living in the Red. Have a good night, everyone.